Today, we are happy to have Hawei Si from University of Southern California. He will tell us about bosonic quantum sensing and communication in the presence of loss and noise. So, please.
Thank you for the introduction. I'm Hawei Si, and I will talk about my research on bosonic quantum sensing and communication in the presence of loss and noise. First, I will introduce my research method, what is quantum advantage, and how to formulate the loss and noise. Since many of you are experts in quantum gravity, I will focus on my recent research on noise sensing and dark matter search. And finally, I will talk a little bit about my other results on absorption spectroscopy and entanglement-assisted communications. My research is based on the bosonic formulation. In quantum optics, the light field is quantized as second harmonic oscillators. That's a well-known result. And the axion dark matter is actually a special case of the boson. The annihilation operator of a boson has two quadratures, Q and P, the position and momentum. And any quantum state described by boson can be fully described by a quasi-probability distribution in the two-dimensional phase space. And more interestingly, recently I find that the bosonic model can also describe the spin ensembles via Holstein-Primakov mapping. So most of my research results can be generalized to spin systems if you are interested. As a teaser, let me introduce the toy model of displacement sensing. The displacement channel simply displays the quasi-probability distribution in the phase space, and it can also model the phase sensing, where there is a phase rotation on the p quadrature. Then it can be also regarded as the displacement along Q quadrature. Squeezing can squeeze the quadrature noise along Q quadrature, but it's at the cost of amplified noise along the other quadrature P. That's the result of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. So if we are only interested in one quadrature, we can use the squeezing to enhance the sensing SNR. First, we prepare the squeezing source, and then we send the squeeze source to the displacement channel. And after the probing, we make a homodyne measurement to measure the Q quadrature. So now we see we can achieve a quantum advantage in the sense that the noise is suppressed to zero if we have an infinite large squeezing gain G. However, this advantage is very vulnerable to loss and noise. There are many sources of loss, such as cavity loss, diffraction, scattering. It's almost inevitable. To formulate such loss and noise, we use the bosonic loss channel. It's parameterized by transmissivity kappa and a background dark count NB. It describes the output photon count when the input mode has zero photon count. Its direct result is the additive quadrature noise when we look at only the Q quadrature. And we can see here the compared to the pure state without loss, after loss, you will have a thermal mixture and the noise will have a non-zero term, even though you have squeezing gain goes to infinity. If the displacement is random, then we go to the noise sensing scenario. And this is a good model for the axion dark matter. Because its phase is unknown, so we model it as a random phase. And the wave vector direction is also random. So we can model it as a Gaussian thermal noise with the variance unknown. So now we have two questions to address. How can squeezing help noise sensing rather than displacement sensing? And the second question is there a loss robust sensing protocol? We have seen that the single mode squeezing does not work. So now I will go to my research on the noise sensing and dark matter search. First, I will talk about my result on the ultimate precision limit and its derivation. Then I will show that the two-mode squeeze vacuum nulling receiver, I will talk about later in detail, is the quantum optimum. I will show this by show its quantum fission information achieves the ultimate precision limit. And finally, I will apply these results to the practical cavity dark matter search protocols. Here's the entanglement-assisted noise sensing protocol. We model the imperfection as a general covariant Gaussian channel. This means that we can consider the transmissivity Karpa larger than one, then it's a amplifier instead of a loss. In this entanglement-assisted protocol, we have an entangled pair. It includes the signal system and the ancilla system. We will send the signal to probe the covariant Gaussian channel, and the ancilla will be stored locally. Finally, we will make a joint measurement over the return signal and the locally stored ancilla. The task here is to estimate the parameter, the thermal noise MB, and minimize the mean square error for this estimation. Here's an example for the bosonic entanglement. In case that you are experts in fermion system while not so familiar with bosonic system. Here we show the two-mode squeeze vacuum. It's a Gaussian EPR state. It's easy to prepare. We can use a spontaneous parametric down conversion to generate it from vacuum states. In experiments, it can be easily done using the periodically polled lithium niobate. The output state two-mode squeeze vacuum has both has correlations in both the Fock space and the phase space. We know that the bosonic system has infinite dimension. So the maximally entangled state will be unphysical with infinite energy, while the two-mode squeeze vacuum state is physical. Its energy is constrained by NS in the, it's actually the thermal photon number if you measure only one mode of it. Here is the hierarchy towards my final result of the automated precision. The first, we consider the classical Fisher information. It's the inverse of the minimum mean square error of your measurement result. Your measurement result depends on two factors: the input quantum state at the transmitter side, and the POVM, the measurement strategy, at your receiver side. The quantum Fisher information is the maximum of the classical Fisher information over all possible measurements. And the upper bound we proposed is an upper bound of the maximum of the QFIs maximized over all possible input quantum states. We have mainly two branches of the result about upper bound. One is the unitary extension bound, And the other one is the teleportation simulation bound. The latter is actually a generalization of Pirandola and Lupo's result. So we will focus on the first one. First, we know that the QFI, the quantum feature information, can be derived from the fidelity between the output states. But we want to allow entanglement, and we want to consider arbitrary state. So we have to allow M modes and consider arbitrary input states. Then the fidelity is very challenging to evaluate, especially when the output is a thermal mixture state. So we note the Ohm's theorem allows us to consider merely the purification. This greatly simplifies the derivation, and to obtain such a purification, we consider the unitary extension. Before the unitary extension, we make such a decomposition of the general covariant channel into quantum limited channels, because the pure amplifier and the pure loss channel has very simple form for their cross operators. And then we make the unitary extension for the concatenation to include the two environments. The overall output quantum state, including the environments, is always pure. And the output state is very easy to calculate. Here's our final result. We consider the energy constraint case with the formal number ns. We see two terms. The first term is not dependent on the non-classical formal number ns. It actually achieves the vacuum limit, the quantum feature information using only vacuum input. And the second term is the describes the non-classical quantum source contribution. And when we take the limit of an ideal channel with no loss and no noise, then it reduces to a simple form, and we find that it's achieved by the two-mode squeeze vacuum state. So this means that the upper bound is tight and the two-mode squeeze vacuum is optimum input in this case. We also find the additivity. For a global parameter of a compound channel, including like K subchannels, the overall upper bound is simply a sum of the individual QFIs of the QFI upper bound of the subchannels. Here, let's make some evaluations with the parameters plugged in. Here, I figure out the optimum input state. I tried answers using single mode squeeze state and two mode squeeze state. Here, I plot the quantum feature information over the upper bound. When the value goes to one, it means that the input state is optimum and the upper bound is tight. The x-axis is the transmissivity kappa, and the y-axis is the squeezing gain g. For a single mode squeeze state in figure A, we see that most region gives value zero. This means that it's far worse than the upper bound. While in figure B, we see that the two mode squeeze vacuum state is actually it reaches the upper bound in almost the most parameter regions. Here I try to figure out the optimal measurement. I try the Nowling receiver as an ansatz. So what is the Nowling receiver? is essentially a anti-squeezing applied over the return state, and then make a photo count. We aim to tune we tune the squeezing parameters to now the return state to vacuum, and similar to for the tumor squeeze vacuum state, we will try to now the return to two-mode vacuum and then make the photon count. In this case, the photon count will have zero error because it always output the zero count if your guess is correct. So why do we prefer the Nouling receiver if you consider the weak signal limit, which is the case for dark matter search? You will find that the conventional homodyne, which measures the quadrature, is limited by the quantum vacuum fluctuation. Even though you have a large gain, you still have a non-zero variance in your measurement result. While on the other hand, the Nouling receiver nulls the return to vacuum and make the photon count. In this case, if your noise signal goes to zero, then the variance of the thermal state is zero because it's almost a vacuum state. And this don't even use a squeezing. When you use the squeezing, you will make a nulling and you will see the noise signal is deviated more. Far away from the vacuum state, so it's easier. It's even easier to be detected. However, it's impossible to now the vacuum state, now the return state to vacuum when you have loss and noise in your channel. So we propose the entanglement-assisted case using the two-mode squeeze vacuum state. We will show that later is loss tolerant. It can indeed. It can also. It can always return the. Well, make the return state to vacuum for at least one mode.
So can I ask a very quick question? So I'm not really an expert in this field. So yeah, I have very. Maybe very simple question. Your setup was like you have entangled system, like system and answer, and then there's a so you want to detect this NB thing in the system, and what's the benefit of using entanglement here?
There's no perfect interpretation for it, but here I can give you some intuition is that we can now the return to vacuum using the two-mode squeeze vacuum state.
Oh, right.
The nulling, the advantage is mostly in the case where you have loss.
I see.
If you
I
don't
see,
have loss, then you can use the single-mode squeeze, yes.
I see. And okay, I see. But this feature information is bound does not depend on the amount of entanglement between system and oscillator, or?
It depends on, yes, it depends on. You can see this in this upper bound. It depends on the input state photon number.
So it's
so if you have a larger squeezing, you will have a larger input photon number in S.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is an intuition.
So NB is supposed to be in your context.
Oh, it's the thermal. It's the We want to sense the noise, actually. And here, MB is the noise, the background thermal noise.
Okay, I see. Thanks.
Okay. So here I will show the optimality of our Nowlin receiver by numerical evaluations. Here I plot the quantum advantage over the vacuum home dye measurement. In figure A, and actually in both figure A and B, we see the solid red and blue line, which represents the classical Fisher information for the Nowlin receiver achieves the solid red and blue line. They represent the quantum Fisher information of the two-mode squeeze vacuum source and the squeeze vacuum source. This means that the Nowlin receiver is optimum, and we also see the advantage. The y-axis shows the advantage. We see 50 dB at gain roughly 25 dB, and actually it's diverging. For the ideal case where you have no loss, you will have ideally infinite advantage. But if you have loss, kappa, for example, here kappa equals to 0.6, this is the transmissibility. Then you will see the two-mode squeeze vacuum overwhelms all the other protocols. Here, an interesting benchmark is the vacuum limit. It's plotted in gray dashed. And then we see a advantage of 1 over MB. Here, MB is the thermal noise signal from the axiom. This means that even you don't have a quantum source, you can achieve quantum advantage using photon counting instead of the homodyne measurement. Here we are ready to apply our theoretical results to the real cavity dark matter searching protocols. In the practical protocol, a cavity is used to enhance the coupling between the axiom and the signal, and a strong magnetic field must be used. Here, the signal, we model it to be coupled with a loss model, a loss mode, and a axiom mode. The coupling, well, the transfer coefficients or the transmissivities are denoted by chi. And in the subscripts, M means the measurement port for a signal. And A means the axiom, while here L means the loss. Chi LL is actually 1 minus chi M squared. We model the axiom as a classical random variable here. This is because that the theories predict that the thermal photon number of the axiom is very large. On the other hand, the coupling ratio, the coupling strength between the axiom and our cavity is very small. So the overall dark count contributed by the axiom will be much smaller than one. That's why we can assume MB much smaller than one in the previous simulations and derivations. Here we show that how we model such a coupling using the bosonic model. We can actually simply replace the transmissivity chi by the kappa we are used to. And we can combine the loss and axiom together as a environment mode, AE. And then we can define the dark count MB as the collective photo count from the loss and axiom. That's the final expression we obtain. So we can calculate the feature information accordingly using our previous results. Here is the simulation result with the practical parameters plugged in. We consider the cavity temperature very low, and we assume the coupling rates for the signal and the loss much larger than the axiom. Then we obtain those figures. Here I plot the quantum advantage over the vacuum home line similarly versus the detuning. Here we see in figure A, for critical coupling, the quantum advantage is more significant at the far detuning region. This is actually because in this region, the cavity is almost transparent. The transmissivity is larger at this region. But you will still see a decay in the absolute value because in this case, your coupling is weaker. Well, in both cases, we still see significant entanglement assist advantage. The red curve is the two most squeezed vacuum performance and is achieved by the Nowling receiver. We see the dashed line coincides with the solid lines. This also applies for squeezed vacuum, but we see it's much worse than the two most squeezed vacuum case. Here we show the broadband search case. In this case, the total fishing information is important. It's also called the scan rate in the previous literatures. It's inverse to the scan time used in dark matter search. So we want it to be higher as possible. Here I consider similarly cooled cavity. So the loss, the thermal photon number from the loss mode is slow, is small. And here I plot the total fishing information over the vacuum home line case is still the quantum advantage. And we see the two most squeezed vacuum, which is colored in the red dashed line, achieves the upper bound in the which is colored in black dot dashed, and also it achieves a huge advantage, actually diverges when the squeezing goes to infinity, and we see the squeezed vacuum is much worse than the two most squeezed vacuum. So we see the benefit from the entanglement. Well, both cases, no matter whether you have entanglement, you can always beat the vacuum home line. As a summary,
can I ask one question? Sure. What's the dependence on these things on NS?
G is dependent on NS.
Yeah. So
I had a formula for. Yeah, maybe I should emphasize this.
I see. So
yeah.
It's roughly G and okay. How big NS can be in reality? Like I don't have any good idea of experiment.
It will be few photons in our, I think in a recent experiment paper, but they use the microwave and optical coupling. Maybe that's weaker. They have only few photon, low one, but for free space, bulk optics, I think they reach 10 dB and more. I mean, G equal to 10 dB and more.
I see.
Yeah, and Professor John told me that DARPA is recently trying to explore larger squeezing gain. They claim they want to achieve 20 dB in 3 or 5 years, I think. Yeah. So it's not a fundamental limit. I think the squeezing gain G can be arbitrarily large in the far future.
I see.
Yeah. So this means that the advantage from quantum matter simple squeezing or TUMO squeezing should be infinite in the long-term future. Yeah, so as a summary, we have shown that the TUMO squeeze vacuum in dark matter search is optimal. And we also show the nonlinear receiver is optimal. We also show that the quantum advantage is huge. It's actually, well, if you have a weak noise and B goes to zero, the advantage is infinite. The micro photon counting is then urged as a, it can be a near-term advantage because we don't even need a quantum source. The photon counting will be a very useful source in the near term. However, we don't have a microwave photon counting device as far as I know. Except for the superconducting devices, but it's very vulnerable to strong magnetic field. So it still need further exploration. And we also see the entanglement as great benefit because TUMO squeeze vacuum has been, we have seen that it's robust to loss and noise. Finally, we have an open question. We have actually modeled the axiom as a Gaussian noise, but in general, it can be non-Gaussian. It can be a random phase displacement, for example. In this case, it will be also very interesting to explore the ultimate limit and the optimum measurements, and the nonlinear receiver will probably also be useful in this case. Yeah. And now I will give, I will briefly talk my other results. Here I will talk about the absorption spectroscopy. For each molecule, we have a unique fingerprint, the transmissivity spectrum. For example, in this figure, you will see the carbon dioxide is, it can be easily distinguished from the water because this unique peak. We have a similar input-output relation, which is for the lossy channel we have modeled. Here, the task is to distinguish different patterns. And we want to minimize the error rate here. So if you can get a large QFI, you will always get the small error rate. So it's very relevant to our previous work. Here I show the schematic of the entanglement assisted protocol. We consider M frequency bins and capital M copies of such probe. Similarly, we will send the signal mode of the entangled pair to the sample and keep the idler locally. Then the quantum receiver will jointly measure the return signal and the idler. We post a ultimate classical benchmark. We consider the classical source as a statistical ensemble of coherent states. And we propose the lower bound for any classical source and any receiver. This is derived by using the fidelity. And we find that the fidelity has a concavity. So we can reduce the ensemble to coherent states, meaning that we don't need to consider the fidelity over our ensemble. We just need to consider the sum of individual fidelity of individual coherent states. And we know that the formula is very simple for the coherent states. So we obtain the final formulas. Here's our proposal of Nowling receiver for this spectroscopy. For each frequency bin, we will first send the signal idler pair to the channel. Here we model a idler loss for the idler to model the imperfections in the experiments. And at the receiver side, we apply a optical parametric amplifier to mimic the Nowling receiver, and then we make a photon counting. We will have overall 2 small m multiplied by capital M photon counts. And we will make a joint decision over all these photon counts to give the final guess on the unknown molecule class H. Here we show the performance for 2 specific scenarios. One is the absorption detection, where we only distinguish between 2 hypotheses, 0 and 1. In figure A, we see that the quantum advantage marked by the blue arrow is the gap between the entanglement-assisted Nowling receiver in purple line and the classical ultimate limit, the dot dash line, very huge. And we also see the entanglement-assisted Nowling receiver achieves the quantum Chernoff bound, marked by dashed line. In this case, it means that the Nowling receiver is optimum for the specific input source, the 2-mosfet vacuum. And similarly, we consider...
What was M? I forgot what was M.
Here, in figure B, we consider M frequency bin. And the capital M is the copy number. We consider the multiple copy number to further increase the SNR, the signal to noise ratio. It's like simply making repetitive measurements. Yes. So you will see a decaying trend when M, the capital M, goes to goes large. Yeah, in figure B, we consider K-peak positioning in among M, small m frequency bins. This small m is different from the capital M, by the way. In this positioning case, we also find a huge advantage. We also explore the robustness against the loss. Here we again verify that the 2-mosfet vacuum Nowling is robust. Along the row, in figure A and B, we consider robustness against sample absorption, the binary case. And in C and D, we consider the noise effect and the idler loss effect. Here cover B and cover T is the 0-1 I mentioned in the absorption spectrum, absorption detection case, the binary case. And the cover I is the idler loss, MB is the channel noise. Here I plot the classical benchmark, the ultimate classical limit as the white dashed lines. So the brighter color means that the Nowlin receiver works better than the classical benchmark, means that we have a provable advantage using the Nowlin receiver. We see at least in the absorption, the binary absorption detection case, A and C, there's a large region we still have the advantage, means that the Nowlin receiver is robust against the loss and noise. Finally, here's a toy model that we consider the pattern classification among real molecules. Figure A and D, the first row, is the discrete spectrum sampled by real FTIR spectrum. We obtain the data from the NIST database. Here, figure B and E shows the raw data. And here's the performance that we obtained. Here we plot the error rate versus the capital M, the probe number, the repetitive measurement number we assumed. And we see in figure C, we consider the alcohol scenario. And in figure F, we consider the drug scenario. Here the squeezing came. Well, the input source has a phone number NS equal to one, but for the Nowlin receiver, we actually set the gain to be one, meaning that we can get rid of the anti-squeezing and only consider direct detection of the phone. Interestingly, we still have a quantum advantage marked by the blue arrow between the entanglement-assisted absorption spectroscopy and the classical bounds. As a summary, we have shown the optical parametric amplifier Nowlin receiver achieves the entanglement assisted advantage in the error rate over the ultimate classical limit in those pattern classification cases. And we also see the robustness, at least in the absorption, the binary absorption detection case. And finally, all the components are friendly for near-term experiments. We only use the parametric amplifier and the photon counting. The open question will be, what's the optimal receiver for general pattern? And what will be the ultimate limits for the quantum, for the entanglement assisted cases? Last, I will briefly talk. I will just maybe give a few comments on my previous research on communication. Here's the schematic for the communication protocol. Let's consider the entangled case then. First, the transmitter will prepare a signal and either pair. He will pre-share the idler with the receiver before the communication. So he will not be able to operate on the idler. While on the other hand, he will encode his message theta on the signal and send the signal to the medium, for example, the fiber, and it goes to the receiver. The receiver will make a joint measurement over the return signal and the idler. While in the classical case, the idler will be forbidden. Good. Here I plot the quantum advantage in the presence of very strong noise and very huge loss. Here the transmissivity kappa equals to 0.1 and the thermal photon number is 10. In the y-axis, I plot the quantum advantage over the ultimate limit of the unassisted case, the unassisted classical capacity. And along the x-axis, we consider different input photon number ns. The black solid line represents the entanglement assisted capacity. And we see that the collateral information marked by the circles and the cross for the binary phase keying two-mode squeeze vacuum input achieves the entanglement capacity. So two-mode squeeze vacuum is still an optimum quantum input in this lossy and noisy communication scenario. And we see infinite quantum advantage in theory if you have an infinite small ns. This is kind of counterintuitive because we, in this case, the input is actually almost a vacuum state. This is very useful in the covert sensing or covert communication case when you don't want your quantum state be detected by your adversary. If you use a almost vacuum state, it's almost indistinguishable with the environment noise, right? So this protocol is very useful for covert communication protocols. We also proposed a optimum practical receiver using correlation to displacement conversion. We first hybridize the return signal and then make a phase correction on the idler according to the hybridizing result. Then the output state will be almost a coherent state. Then we can use the previous result, green machine, which processed the coherent state to give a capacity achieving performance. And here we verify that in the similar lossy and noisy case, we consider the information rate over the unassisted capacity C. In the left figure, we see that the collateral information of our correlation to displacement module achieves the entanglement capacity, entanglement assisted capacity. And in the right figure, we see that using the green machine, the magenta line almost achieves the quantum limit of the correlation to displacement module. We can claim that the green machine can achieve the capacity in the scaling of NS when NS goes to the signal photon number NS goes to zero. So as a summary, my research leaves these open questions. We can generalize the ultimate precision limit to non-Gaussian cases. And we can also consider the cavity optomechanical system where nonlinear coupling will be invoked. And we might need to consider more complicated channel models. And finally, we can generalize our bosonic model to spin systems, and also the pattern clarification problem can include general phase noise, and it can be applied to phase sensing. Finally, the entanglement assist communication can also include non-Gaussian noises, and Yeah, that's all I have here. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Any question from the audience?
I have a question.
Sorry.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So I just want to ask a question about the first work you present. So you show the upper bound of the facial information with
Yes.
energy constraint. And
Yes.
I was wondering, is it did you assume like the input state is Gaussian, or it can be
No.
three input?
It's arbitrary M-mode state. Yeah, we allow entanglement and we allow non-Gaussian states.
Thank you. So also about the single mode case. So did you prove any upper bound when the input state is a single mode state?
Oh, you mean for a specific constraint case?
Oh yeah, no, I just mean that
Okay.
so you have a very like a very good result in terms of like the two mode case, but for the single mode case, can you exclude the situation that there might be some state that can achieve the same behavior as the two mode case?
I see. May I rephrase your question as without entanglement assistance? Is that what you mean by a
Yes.
single mode case? Oh, that will be. I think actually the teleportation bound proposed by Pirandola. Oh, that's also a entanglement assisted case. That would be a very interesting topic, I think. Yeah, I didn't consider without entanglement assisted case. I believe that would be very interesting.
Thank you. So and also I was wondering like because you plot the Bell state measurement and show that it's not optimal. And I was wondering is the reason that maybe there's noise or the input is energy constraint, or there's some other intrinsic reason that the Bell measurement is not optimal?
I think Bell measurement is actually a analogy, an analog of the Homodyne measurement in the entangled assisted case. Because you measure the quadrature, right? And we have seen that the single mode squeeze vacuum Homodyne case is worse. For example, the purple line, we see that the Bell measurement actually has a similar performance with the Homodyne squeeze vacuum case in both A and B figure.
So let me rephrase my question. So
Yeah.
suppose you can input like a perfect two-mode squeeze state, then would Bell measurement be optimal, or is it still not optimal?
I think if you have infinite squeezing gain, then you will see that in figure A, the orange line will converge with the red and the blue lines, meaning that the Bell measurement will be the same as the Nowlin receiver. Yes, you are right. If there's no imperfection, there's no loss and no noise, then the Bell measurement should be optimal, I think.
Okay, thank you for explaining. And also I was wondering like if you assume like your measurement is Gaussian, then is there some some evidence that it cannot be optimal, like because the photon counting is not a Gaussian measurement, right? So if you restrict to a Gaussian measurement, then what happens?
That will be an interesting question. Yeah, I have not considered this.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I have more questions.
Okay. Hi, I have one question. So in the beginning you talked about Holstein Primakov transformation, so we can map your results to the spin systems. So I was just wondering, do you know of analogs of two mode squeezed states in the spin systems?
Recently I read an experiment paper by Kazarish in Stanford. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. They consider distributed sensing in the spin systems. I think that's not a two-mode squeeze vacuum, but it's an entangled state in the spin system. Yeah, similar to our two-mode squeeze.
Okay, thank you. Can you spell out the name of the author?
Oh,
you said
yeah,
in a, some paper from some author from Stanford.
I think I can find the title. Yeah, I can send you his name first.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Any other question?
Can I ask a question? Can you hear me? I'm not very familiar with those topics, so maybe a very fundamental question. First of all, I think you gave an expression on quantum facial information in terms of mutual information of measure states. I'm not really sure. Could you show me the slide?
Sorry, the quantum facial information.
Yeah, the definition of quantum facial information.
Oh yeah. Here.
Oh yes, here. So why does it give you a quantum facial information? What is the parameter relevant here?
You can see the classical fishing information depends on the measurement, right? So we want to get rid of such dependence. Example, you want to compare this bound with your specific ansatz. You want to see whether your ansatz is optimal. So you want to derive a theoretical bound. This is the quantum fishing information. It's optimized over all possible measurement strategies. And for a single parameter, estimation is achievable, it's tight.
Yeah. And sorry, this mutual information is mutual information between which variable to which variable?
You mean the estimated unknown parameter?
You mean the I rho hat in pi, what's the definition of this I?
I is defined in
the classical. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I see. Okay. I see.
Yes.
I see, thank you. And my second question is, could you remind me again, what do you mean by optimal measurement in this context? You mean the measurement that achieves this maximum?
Yes, when a measurement has a classical fishing information achieves this QFI, then you have the optimum measurement.
I see. And this measurement, and you restrict the set of measurements to the Gaussian one, or for measurements, you don't restrict, you don't really restrict the set of measurements.
Could you repeat again?
In order to optimize, in order to find the measurement to maximize this quantity, which set of measurements did you focus on?
Oh, you mean, is there a constraint on the measurements?
Yeah, like a Gaussian, only focus on Gaussian measurements.
No. Yeah, I know that. Dr. Joe asked a similar question, but I didn't consider any constraint. We just need the measurement to be pure VM. And that's the, you see, I have a formula for the QFI here, right? Using the fidelity. In the derivation of this formula, no constraints was considered. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said, thank you so much.
Only pure VM.
Any other question? If not, let's thank the speaker again.